I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up in our international briefing, we'll talk about the murder of a filmmaker in El Salvador, a killing believed to be related to his coverage of that country's growing gang problem. And we'll find out how one retailer is defying the trend of poor sales by selling homemade crafts made by some of the world's most distressed women. That is all later in the program. But first, the speech. President Obama delivered his highly anticipated health care speech last night before a joint session of Congress. The speech was billed as a make-or-break moment for the president's health care overhaul effort. It comes after weeks of accusations from many Republicans that the president's plan would lead to runaway spending, rationing of care, and worse. It seemed the perfect moment for us to check in with the loyal opposition. That's Tell Me More series of conversations about the Obama administration with a diverse panel of analysts from the right, left, and center. So joining us for today's conversation is Matthew Continetti, associate editor with The Weekly Standard, a conservative journal. Pam Gentry, Washington bureau chief and senior political producer for BET Networks. Raihan Salam, a fellow at the New America Foundation and co-author of Grand New Party, How Republicans Can Win the Working Class and Save the American Dream. And Steve Hildebrandt, Democratic strategist and president of Hildebrandt Strategies. He's also the former deputy national campaign director of Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, and he's recently made news for criticizing the president for a lack of boldness in pursuing his campaign promises, including health care reform. Welcome, all of you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Let's start with a clip of the address last night for those who missed it. Here it is.
Our collective failure to meet this challenge, year after year, decade after decade, has led us to the breaking point. Everyone understands the extraordinary hardships that are placed on the uninsured, who live every day just one accident or illness away from bankruptcy. These are not primarily people on welfare. These are middle-class Americans. Some can get insurance on the job. Others are self-employed and can't afford it, since buying insurance on your own costs you three times as much as the coverage you get from your employer.
And there's more, and we'll play a few more clips as we go on. I'm going to start with Steve Hildebrandt, because you were one of the president's men, as it were, helped him get elected, and you were recently quoted in an interview with Politico this week saying that you're losing patience with him on a number of issues, including health care, for a lack of boldness. So was this the boldness you were looking for?
We got bold last night, Michelle. I was very pleased, and I think the vast majority of the American people really had an opportunity to hear the details of what President Obama wants to do, the principles that guide him in this discussion, his belief that this is a moral imperative, that we provide access and affordable to affordable health care for every person in this country, no matter what your background is. And he called this Congress to do the job. And I hope that they will step up to the plate and not disappoint once again.
Pam Gentry, what was the thinking at the White House about the timing of the speech? I know that some of the sort of the instant response from the analyst last night was, well, that would have been great 3 months ago. But why this speech? Why right now?
I think that they knew that they were getting near the end, that they had to bring the president. I mean, he's the biggest cheerleader. He's the strongest proponent for this, and that they needed his voice. And I think throughout August, the members of the Democratic Party were actually saying to the White House, we need the president out here. We need their cover. I spoke to several Blue Dog Democrats who said, bottom line right now is we need to know the president is with us and that he's got our back. I mean, we're not stepping out here alone. And so he needs to put, you know, he needs to draw a line in the sand for us to move forward.
I think the question for some people is, do they have his back?
Well, I think there's a combination going on of things. You know, he has always said he wanted them to do all this legwork and get this policy, you know, put this policy together. But
and I don't think, what a concept, lawmakers writing a bill.
But I don't think that they were willing to go at it alone. I think basically what they did is once they got pressure from their what appeared to be from their constituents, they stepped back and said, are we following exactly what the president wants? And if it's not something that he wants, we're not going out there alone.
Who do you think he was talking to last night, primarily?
The insured. I think he was talking to people who have insurance. Those have been some of his biggest challenges right now, because the majority of this conversation has been focused on people without health insurance. And so people who had insurance were saying, and so what's in it for me?
Matthew Continetti, Raihan Salam, moving to the voices from the right, as it were. Republicans have been giving the president fits. Conservative Democrats also. And their criticisms range from the bill is too expensive to that it's socialized medicine, too much of a government footprint. So I'm going to ask the same question I asked Pam is, first of all, who do you think the president was talking to? And do you think he was effective in speaking to whoever he was talking to, Matthew?
Well, I think the president was primarily talking to centrist Democrats in the House and the Senate, trying to regain their support after what has been a pretty bad summer. And really, his major opponent over the course of the summer hasn't been Republicans. I mean, they've been vocal, but they don't have any power. The real power player here has been the Congressional Budget Office, which has repeatedly scored the various Democrats' proposals and showed that Obama is stretching the truth when he says that these proposals can be deficit neutral.
You think it was effective or not?
Hard to say. I think really the overarching public opinion question here is, you know, the public disapproves of Obama's handling of this issue. Gallup has 39-37 against Obama's approach to health care. AP has 49-34% against Obama's approach to health care. He didn't have any substantive changes in what he's been talking about over the summer. He's been more specific, but I don't think it's going to calm the fears of those independent voters who have lost support for the president by, according to one poll, as much as 10 points over the course of the summer.
Rahan?
The Peterson Foundation, a nonpartisan group, has just released a score of H.R. 3200, which is not necessarily going to be the president's proposal, but it is the House proposal that closely resembles his reform principles. And they found that while during the first 10 years it might be roughly deficit neutral, during the next 10 years it spirals. And that's something that I think a lot of people are concerned about. My own view is that the president's speech will likely be politically effective in the sense that it will bring a lot of his constituents on side, and it will be politically effective because he didn't really acknowledge the kind of costly trade-offs that have engendered so much distrust earlier on. The president is a brilliant, gifted politician. He has one small problem, in my view. He tends to engage with straw men rather than substantive disagreements from his critics on the left and the right, and that's something that frustrated me.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that there was a
from the standpoint of the administration, obviously, needless to say, I don't speak for them, but I think it's been frustrating, particularly for progressives and those who support a health care overhaul, that the straw men seem to be winning the day. So how can you not address them? This whole death panels issue.
Yeah. There was a segment of the speech where he was addressing his critics from the left who advocate single payer, and his critics from the right who he claimed say that individuals should be left to the individual market on their own. As far as I can tell, there are no proposals that call for leaving individuals on the market on their own. There are calls for advanceable and refundable tax credits, a variety of other measures, including insurance exchanges from the right, but that's not a fair characterization. As for the left, the case for single payer is that employer-based coverage is unraveling, and actually when you look at any score of his proposal, it says that about 11 million Americans are going to lose their employer-based coverage. That's a reality that he doesn't do enough to acknowledge. So I think that critics from the left and the right have really good, valid points that he tends to dismiss.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about President Obama's health care speech. We're speaking with Democratic strategist Steve Hildebrand, journalists Raihan Salam, Matthew Continetti, and Pam Gentry. I want to play another. I think it speaks to your point, Raihan, another clip from the speech where the president said that he's going to call you out if you're not doing right by him. Here it is.
If you come to me with a serious set of proposals, I will be there to listen. My door is always open. But know this, I will not waste time with those who have made the calculation that it's better politics to kill this plan than to improve it. I won't stand by while the special interests use the same old tactics to keep things exactly the way they are. If you misrepresent what's in this plan, we will call you out. And I will not accept the status quo as a solution. Not this time. Not now.
Is that a straw man is that the straw man?
Yeah, I think the real danger is that this plan is going to be a huge corporate giveaway, actually. When you create an individual mandate, when you have large premium subsidies, but you don't do enough to actually control costs, what you're doing is you're giving the insurance companies tens of millions of new consumers. And that's why critics from the right and the left have been emphasizing cost control. From the left, they want a public option. From the right, some people want reinsurance. They want a variety of other measures that are going to impose tighter controls. But
Michelle, I got to jump in.
No, Steve, I'm coming to you next. I'm certainly coming to you next. I just wanted, Ryan, you finished your point?
Yeah.
Okay. Steve?
You know, look, I got to speak to the folks on the right. You've been in charge the previous 8 years. We lived under the worst deficits our country's ever faced under your leadership. You gave billions in tax cuts to oil companies. You gave billions in tax cuts to the wealthiest of Americans. You took us to war and bankrupted our country. Don't tell the American people that we can't afford to help them better afford and have better access to health care. Do not tell them we can't afford that, because we can. We can, and it will save this country money. So don't go out.
I was speaking for critics from the left and the right. I think that's a very unfair characterization of what I was just saying.
I completely disagree.
What about this question? Steve, can I ask you this? What about this whole question of how this debate is ensuing? And we're going to talk more about that after we take a short break, and we're going to come back for another segment we will talk more. And also we'll talk about the Republican response. But it does seem, and this conversation seems to be like a mini version of this, that two sides are in essence talking about different things at different times. In a way, it's like the conversations don't match up. On the one hand, you have folks on the right who are talking about death panels and mischaracterizing the facts. I think most people agree that that is the case. On the other hand, Raihan is saying that there are substantive points that are not being addressed by the president and his supporters, which just sort of linger.
Including by advocates of single payer, by the way.
So Steve, do you agree or disagree about that?
President Obama was very clear in laying out some very specific principles last night. I don't believe that his positions aren't clear. I don't believe that he's hiding anything. I don't believe that he hasn't addressed things. Everyone who is opposing health care reform is going to go out with whatever line they can possibly get out there. I find it incredibly hypocritical when Republicans portray themselves as the great moral authority in this country, but they refuse to help basic people in this country get access to health care.
We will certainly let Raihan and Matthew respond if they care to, but we need to take a short break right now. When we return, more about the president's speech and what's ahead for his health care overhaul efforts. We'll ask if partisan politics can in fact be put aside for the health care debate and ideological division. Where it goes from here, please stay with us on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're continuing our conversation about President Obama's address to Congress last night on health care. We're joined once again, by panelist Steve Hildebrand, a Democratic strategist and deputy campaign manager for the Obama campaign, journalist Pam Gentry, who's been covering the White House and Washington politics for BET, and conservative writers Raihan Salam of the New America Foundation and Matthew Continenti of the Weekly Standard. Before we took our break, we were talking about the politics, essentially, of how this debate proceeds going forward. One of the moments of the speech that got some attention, was getting some attention today, didn't come from the president himself. It was when the president was talking about how illegal immigrants are not covered under this health care plan. Here it is, and there's a disruption which you may or may not be able to hear, but I'll just play it for you. Here it is.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally. It's not true.
If you're having trouble hearing that, that was Republican Congressman Joe Wilson of South Carolina shouting out, "You lie." And as you might imagine, there was some discussion this morning about whether this was appropriate. But it, and you know, people have their different opinions about whether this was appropriate and conduct at an occasion like this. But this does give an example of the acrimony that has characterized this debate. So I wanted to ask each of you if you think it is possible to change the tenor of the conversation at this point. Is it possible to achieve some sort of bipartisan or compromise? Matthew?
Well, I think the two parties and the two ideological movements in the United States are so far separated on this question. They have such different approaches to the question of health care reform that it's going to be hard to change or, you know, modify the conversation. I mean, both sides, you heard Joe Wilson there, you know, say the president was lying, and then the president himself has said that the opponents are constantly mischaracterizing and spreading myths and whatnot. So both sides are calling names. The question to me is this: what happens in the Senate over the course of the next few months? And I think the president received a big boost from Senator Max Baucus, who outlined over the weekend some of the proposals he's going to bring to his Senate Finance Committee over the course of the next 2 weeks, which it seems to me, based on my reading of the president's speech, gel pretty closely with the president's approach. I think the Baucus approach is going to be the plan that we're going to have a vote on, or the one that's going to come closest to having a vote on in these next few months.
Steve, what's your take on this? Because one of the big arguments or questions on the Democratic / progressive side has been whether bipartisanship is even possible, and whether the Democrats really should be focused on their own caucus and moving forward on their own. What's your take on this?
Look, if Congress actually was there to do their job and not just hang with the special interests all the time, we'd see bipartisanship on health care. We'd see bipartisanship on a whole lot of issues. And Washington wouldn't have bankrupted this country. What I suspect, Michelle, will happen is that since universal health care has never been a priority of the Republican Party, but it's been a top priority of the Democratic Party, with or without Republican support, I think we will get universal health care. I do think that there is a better chance than not that we're going to have a public option in it. If it doesn't have a public option in it, I can't say that it's going to be as successful as it should be. And the president was very clear last night that the best way to do this, in his opinion, and he certainly is shared by a majority of Americans, that a public option will make sure that there's competition in the marketplace. It will make sure that insurance companies are treated in the marketplace in a much more aggressive way than they are right now, and the monopolies will go away.
Pam, what about that? Steve's saying a public option is likely to still be part of the bill, and what we're hearing from a lot of the congressional reporters is that that's very difficult, in part because it's unlikely that any Republican is going to suffer politically for there not being a public option, but that the conservative Democrats or those who perceive themselves to be in marginal districts may.
I think the president was very clear in saying that he wants an option of choice. Be it a public option, I don't think that was really underlined last night. I think that he said, yes, I prefer a public option, but something that allows people to purchase insurance if they can't find a good competitive bid in their state. And of course, he's pointed to Alabama, which is, you know, one of the states where there's only one insurance provider. But I think what really is what his real issue right now is going to have to be, if he moved any of the conservative Democrats to his side, there's going to be some discussion on the Hill as to how far they want to go it alone. I think they're going to want some Republican buy-in. I think they want to have some bipartisan support. But it's out there now, and we'll have to see. Did he extend an olive branch enough with the tort reform and talking of those issues that he's going to bring anyone over from that side? And I don't think Dems are going to want to go by themselves on this.
And finally, to that point, let's play a short clip of the Louisiana Congressman Charles Bustani, who gave the GOP response. He's also a medical doctor and I believe a heart surgeon. And here's what he had to say.
The president had a chance tonight to take the government-run health care off the table. Unfortunately, he didn't do it. We can do better.
So, Reinhart, bipartisanship still possible on this?
Yeah, I think it is. When you listen to, for example, Senator Bob Corker, he's proposed various reforms to the bill that could get a fair number of Republicans on side. But I think the fundamental problem is that if you want coverage expansion, you have to pay for it through taxes. Republicans and Democrats both need to acknowledge this, and I don't think the president has.
And given if I could just return once again to this whole question of the acrimony that has accompanied this debate. I mean, it's not like we have not had acrimonious debates before in this country over many, many, many issues, but we didn't have a 24-hour kind of media environment. We didn't have some of the sort of tools for sort of amping up the tenor of conversation the way that we do now. Do you think that is possible to set that aside and reach agreement in the time frame that both parties seem to feel is necessary before elections?
I think that under the last president and under this president, lots of Americans have had a sense that they're not being leveled with. And I think that that's engendering a lot of distrust and a lot of anger. I think that the other stuff, the internet and all this other buzzing activity, is totally secondary to that.
Can Can I get back to Representative Wilson last night? I think he did the Republican Party a huge disservice. They have not had, and, you know, we've talked about this on, I think, on Tell Me More before. They have not done a lot of outreach in the Latino community since the election. And I think that comment last night and that outburst after the comment about covering illegal immigrants is going to come back to haunt them. I think that he's done a huge disservice that whether this health care reform in whatever shape or form it takes, that party is going to suffer for that comment last night.
And also among African Americans, which are an important constituency at this point for the Republican Party, but it's a huge story on Black radio, for example, this morning. The perceived disrespect to the president
I think those two things are going to play extremely large.
Well, you saw the Republicans move very quickly to distance the party from Representative Wilson. Of course, he had issued an apology within hours of the president's speech.
But Michelle, this is a distraction. It's not an imperative to getting health care reform about what happened last night regarding Congressman Wilson. What is as important is that, you know, I've been running campaigns for 22 years and running them in difficult states like South Dakota, where I live. My own Congresswoman, Stephanie Hirsch-Sandlin, is one of those blue dogs who is standing in the way of getting this bill passed. It is very simple for me to make the point that this is not about her reelection. This is not about the reelection of any member of Congress or the Senate. I don't care if this is a difficult vote for them and that it may hurt their chances of reelection. That's not what they're there for. They are there to solve the problems of this country. And that is what they should be concerned about. If any of them stand in the way of reform, they should give up their government-run health care program that they get as a member of Congress or the Senate. If they don't solve this problem now, when's it going to get solved?
We have to leave it there for now. Democratic strategist Steve Hildebrand is a president of Hildebrand Strategies. He's the former deputy national campaign director of Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, and he joined us from South Dakota Public Broadcasting in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We're also pleased to be joined by Matthew Continetti, associate editor with the Weekly Standard and author of The K Street Gang, The Rise and Fall of the Republican Machine, Pamela Gentry, Washington bureau chief and senior political producer for BET Networks, and Raihan Salam, a fellow at the New America Foundation, the co-author of Grand New Party, How Republicans Can Win the Working Class and Save the American Dream. And they were all kind enough to join us in our Washington studio. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.